subscribe to Donnie Houston Podcast, man.
Donnie Houston.
Yeah, man, this is Donnie Houston. Donnie Houston Podcast. I am Donnie Houston. Check it out, man. We got a special guest today. This is really like, if anybody's talked to me and asked me about like who's new in Houston and doing it, like I always say this name like first, usually. You know what I'm saying? I've been able to see her just grow, you know what I mean, for a long time, and now she's just killing the game, man. Kendra Mann, what's going on?
Hey, you ain't even tell me what camera to look at. Which one? Just you?
Yeah, everything going good. Yeah, okay. It's all catching.
Hey, y'all.
What's going on?
Not much. How you doing?
I'm chilling. What's up?
Nothing. Just happy to be here.
Big old superstar now, rap star. Do you remember when you did the thing like way back in the day when I was doing the industry night thing?
At what location?
It was like a wing spot, you know what I'm saying?
Is that one time when Paul Wall was there?
Yeah,
because I performed. I remember. I did Uchiwali.
Uchiwali, yeah.
Yeah. I didn't even remember that was you that put that on.
Yep.
I thought you was about to say it was some little.
You thought I was just gassing when I was talking, like, hey, here go another one. Like, now, listen, this is the story, all right? So I used to do this thing called Industry Night, you know what I'm saying? Me and Paul, and it was at this wing spot or whatever. So one particular night, It was on Wednesdays. One particular night, I'm in there. I'm outside, actually, talking to somebody, trying to get something handled. And all of a sudden, I just hear, like, a noise on the inside. And I turn around, and the crowd is, like, hovering over the stage. And I hear the Uchiwali beat, and I hear, like, a little voice. And I look up, and it's this little girl going hard, like, just killing it. And I'm like, oh, man. Off top, first time, no lie, no gas. Mm-hmm. I was like, man, she got it. Like, it's just somebody just has to, like, find her, and she's out of here. I've always said this, you know what I'm saying? So it's like, see you here right now.
That's crazy, because sometimes I don't even remember, like, those events that I did. Like, even, what was it, Social Junkie? I used to do, like, the little open mic things, too. And it's just crazy when you really look back, and it's like, I really was doing all them nights, the mic nights. I used to do all them little competitions. They used to always make me lose. But I felt like it was never nobody better than me on them things. So I was like, why is they always? Like, we just knew I was going to win this one. My daddy was so mad. He threw all the stuff off the table. I said, Daddy, we got to get out of here. So, yeah, it's crazy. Like, I kind of sometimes forget all of those moments. And I can't believe that was you over there. Yeah. Over the one, the Uchiwali.
I figured you ain't put that together. I'm like, she don't even recognize
me. No, but I do. Your name is hella lively out here in these streets. So yeah. I knew, but I just didn't remember that in particular.
Yeah.
So
yeah, nah, it's all good. Yeah, nah, you killed it. So like, thank literally, you. Like when I see you doing your thing, I'd be like, man, yeah, like for real, for real.
Thank you.
Straight up and down. You know what I'm saying?
Oh.
But yeah, so what's good? You got the new project out. You just did Rolling Loud, right?
Mm-hmm.
Tell me about that.
Well, I did the virtual one, and that was the one I was super nervous on, because I just felt it was like I walked in there and it was like some shit that I ain't never seen before in my life, like all the, like, literally lights, camera, action. It was so weird.
So it was a full setup?
It was a full setup, and you would think that it was a little camera setup somewhere, but it was like they had the whole shebang. Like, it was monitors everywhere. It was like a whole bunch of cameramen and stuff, so that shit freaked me out. I made Cooley get on stage with me, and we did not rehearse that shit. I was just like, bitch, I ain't got no dancers. I said, I'm not going up there by myself. Like, we had the bubble guts. We was so nervous. And you would think it was like something that you wouldn't be nervous about. So that was the first one. And then I did Miami and New York. So New York was the last one. And I don't know. I just feel like it's like the nerves like decrease like every time, because it's kind of like now you know what to expect. So New York was probably my favorite one because I wasn't nervous. I was able to, like, you know, actually put on a show because I wasn't in my head, like, scared or
something. Was that your first time in New York?
No, I'm always in New York. Mm. Yeah, I'm always there. And them rats.
Performing as well? Performing
No, I did one performance my whole entire existence in New York. And then I did, I had a party there, and it was lit. I was like, wow, like, people came to my party.
What was it like a fan party? Like,
yeah, it was like a, my project was out. So I think it was like the week of my project, it was like that following. It was like 3 days after my release, so it was like a little kind of celebration release thing. But I was shocked. This girl came up to me and was like, I drove 2 hours to see you from, you know how in Houston we drive to Dallas and like stuff like that. So I don't know where she said she came from, but I was just like, damn, y'all driving hours too? That's crazy.
Wow. So, well, you were there because I did not see, didn't Cardi B like show you some love or something?
Uh-huh. Yeah. Absolutely, yeah.
She, you been able, y'all been able to connect?
No. No. No, we wasn't. But, I mean, I appreciated the love, though. That mean, you know, like, it's just nice sometimes to know that people see you. So, and then especially somebody to say that they see you. You know, usually people just see you and then keep on scrolling. But it's like, that was cool that she
acknowledged you.
Yeah, like, actually, like, said something.
Yeah, yeah. That's what's up. So, what's been, like, the, like, adjustment for you, you know what I mean, to, like, this whole new thing now?
A lot of people ask that, and it's kind of like, I don't feel, like, any different. It's, like, almost like you grow with yourself, because, like, how you were saying that I was at this, like, I done grew with it for so long. It's, like, sometimes you don't really see what's going on or see your accomplishments, and then other people have to point them out to you sometimes. So, it's, like, it's been pretty much, like, just a flow. Like, I just been going and, like, just staying true to myself, and, like, it don't feel like... I feel like I'm a know when I feel it. It's gonna be when I can't go nowhere. So it's been cool.
Did you do your last project? It came out on Asylum.
Asylum. Mm-hmm.
That's what's up. So you signed deals?
Yeah. Their Asylum is an independent label. Mm-hmm. You know, so it's I would kind of compare them to maybe like an Empire, you know, like something like
that. You don't know, like Asylum is, they OG as far as independent, especially like pushing the southern region, you know?
Absolutely. Yeah. And so it was like a long time coming before, because a lot of people think that I wasn't signed because I was slept on, but it's like, nah, I turned down pretty much everybody because they had some fuck deals, you know?
Trying
so
to
put, it was
trying to 360.
Yeah, they was trying to fuck me up. And I was like, I wasn't that eager to get into something to where it's like I would just sell all my, you know, like, you be really selling your soul. I feel like that's what the definition of selling your soul is. Not like always demonic like people think. It's just like you literally give up everything, like your whole life, your whole career, your whole everything you worked for, and put it in the hands of these people that just do what they want with it, like puppet your whole entire career, which it works for some people. But it's like the more people that I see, they tell me not to do that, you know, like they be in their deals, you think they happy, but it's like they don't be happy. So with Asylum, it's like I have that still that freedom with just more backing. So I felt like it was fit perfectly for me though. I thought I was gonna be by myself forever. I was ready too, but it was like they really came with something that was fair to me, like it was like about me. So
before that, it was just moving just you and Cooley?
No, me and my manager Melissa, but Cooley was actually my first manager, and when I first started rapping, and then I started managing myself, and then I met Melissa, and then me and Cooley, she became my manager again. I fired her ass.
Shout out to Cooley.
Yeah, that bitch was left like a fucking ex in my line. She was on my line. I was like, this lady is crazy, but I love her.
Oh man, that's what's up. So, okay, where you from, Ken?
Northside, Houston.
Northside. What part of Northside are you from?
Eggs Homes.
Ofo. Okay, already. That's what's up. So, did you grow up like being influenced from stuff over there, like listening to like everything, Switch Eyes and all that?
No, actually, like it's like I got older and started kind of catching up, like, late. I didn't grow up. Like, my daddy had me love song, dog. Like, I was listening to motherfucking Jaheim and Avon and motherfucking all of these people, you know. It was like, I didn't really grow up, I feel like, in heavy Houston culture, and except the 1-0 song that he would play over and over. Slow Line Bank.
It's Slow Line Bank.
And it was crazy because I used to be so tired of hearing that song. It was him and my brother, and they would run that bitch out. And then I started going to Lockwood, and they would stop the whole thing and just walk around Lockwood singing Slow Line Bank. And I was like, oh, bitch, my daddy. I know this motherfucker. I'm going to say this shit out this. So it was nah, for real. I was like, damn, they taught me something. It was Slow Line Bank. So. Yeah, I feel like I kind of caught wind of, like, Houston culture a little late because my dad he don't really listen to rap.
So when you were little, you weren't, like, trying to be – like, when did the rap thing come to you? Like,
actually, when I was smaller, I used to, like, write poetry, and I used to do singing talent shows and be in girl groups. Like, I never – like, nobody in my family raps. Or, like, everybody sings and they play instruments and stuff like that. But it's, like, no, it's no rapper. So I really honestly don't know where it came from, because it was kind of, like, I just used to be singing, just like what I was like now, like what I see my aunts and shit do. So it just literally was
what
me.
What you sing, SWV and all that shit? What you?
We, I know, I used to sing Beyonce every time. I mean, I feel like one day them talent shows from the sixth grade and stuff and seventh grade gonna surface. And I'm so embarrassed to see who the fuck gonna have that footage. But I used to sing it, sing, listen. I used to sing every day or whatever. But as I started growing up, getting hot in the bitch and started freestyling in the car and it was up.
So when you start doing this, what age you
doing? I was in high school, my like 11th grade. Yeah, I was in like the 11th grade. My 11th grade year, I started smoking in the car. I was smoking, but I was really smoking at that point. School be stressful.
In 11th grade? What you going through in 11th grade?
Grades, teachers.
You was a little problem child?
I actually was.
No shit.
I wasn't really a problem child. I was just a little rebellious. You know, every kid kind of like, you know when your parents just don't, it's almost like they don't understand, like, you being a teenager. It's like they don't let you teen in peace. So it's like I was just rebelling and shit. But it's like I wasn't really bad. I just was curious. Like, I was a curious person. Like, just like how I figured out I can rap, it was just me being curious and like doing stuff. Like, I was doing many things before I even knew that I could rap. It's like I was trying to do everything because I don't know, I was trying to find my passion. And it's crazy because I was like, damn, I was only like 18. I was just like, what's my passion? I don't know what I'm gonna be doing. But
that's crazy, like, even to be that young and even thinking like that though.
I wanted to know because I didn't love anything that I was experimenting with. So it was crazy that when
rap, what was some of the stuff you was doing before?
Like, I was trying to do nails, like I was trying to sew, I was trying
all kind of random,
like, you know, little kinks and things that, you know, I was just trying to, because I actually kind of did good trying to start. I did so many things, it's like I can't even remember half the stuff that I did, but I know I tried pretty much everything, and including girl groups. Like, I definitely was in a number of those. So I don't know. It's just like I'm glad and blessed that I figured it out, because it's hard to figure it out. Like, I don't even know how I did. It was like my destiny or something.
So one day you just high, you just start just freestyling.
It was like, you know, like when we be in the car with niggas, like I ain't gonna lie, I be in my friends ear in the club freestyling up.
Oh, you one of them?
I'm one of them. They probably be, nah, they start doing it with me. They don't be annoyed. We be rapping. So it really just started up like me being in the car smoking with my friends or whatever, and the boys, they'll like start rapping. That's just natural. I don't know if that's a Houston thing or what, but it's like, they would do it, and I'd try to chime in because it'd be so lit to me. Like, damn, they going hard in the bitch. What's going on? And then so I'd try to chime in.
Are you
shit.
Listening to rap though at this time? Man?
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
So what you liking at the time? That like?
I like Lil Wayne, and I listen to Eminem, Tupac. I listen to really, yeah. It was really just a whole lot of Wayne. That was literally my favorite rapper, and of course, I listen to like a number of things. So I've never like. I love R&B, I love rap, I love pop. I like so many different ways of music. But, yeah, so I don't know what it was, but it just sparked me to just try to chime in. And I started getting good. Hmm. And then I started going for 2 seconds to 2 minutes to 4 minutes to writing that shit down. So,
So when did you say, like, all right, I'm finna try to be a rapper now?
Well, I had took a, like a go at it, and I thought it was good, but then we played it. We was going to our weed man house to get some weed. We was so excited. We was like, we made a song, y'all. So we played them the song. Everybody was like, damn, that's hard. And it was this one nigga in there. He was like, that shit sucks. So that's what I was just like, damn.
The kids are confidence, right there.
Like, you know, out of all the niggas, I believed him. Like, damn, that nigga said we trash. So it's like, I just tried to keep going. Like, I tried to get better, but I never put it out because I was just like, all right, I got to get this shit good. And then I put out my first freestyle with Chirac Freestyle. And that shit went up. Like, my first freestyle, like, nobody knew me to rap. You
Wait,
know?
Chirac? What year was it?
2014? I think it was like 2014.
But you're still in high school when you do this?
No, I think I had just graduated. After I had my child, I had him in 2013. I don't think I was rapping then. And then in 2014, I came up. No, I think it was the end of 2013. Then I couldn't think no more. And then that's when I dropped my whole project in 2014. because I didn't know what writer's block was. So I made a couple of tracks and then it's like it went away and I was like, damn, well that ended. Shit, that was short. So they kept trying to tell me, what you doing? Why you stop? Why you stop? I was just like, I can't rap no more. Like, what the fuck? I was like, I'm not finna keep trying. That shit sucks. Like, but I didn't understand. I was like, nah, I think you should keep trying. I think you should keep trying. So I don't know. I was watching this Nicki Minaj documentary and the bitch started crying and I started crying. I was like, ah, shit. I was asking God, please give me my gift back. Please, I like to rap. I was literally saying that. I was crying. I was like, please give me my gift back, because it was the only thing that I liked a lot. Like, I knew that it was something. And then it was like, I was rapping with my friend. And so I told her, she stopped rapping. When I stopped rapping, I said, bitch, the only reason why I'm not rapping is because, bitch, I can't rap. I said, so I'm telling you, if I'm able to start back rapping, I'm going to start back rapping. So you might want to keep rapping, bitch. Like, if you want
to
rap.
So y'all supposed to be a group? Or she
no,
was
we
just
wasn't
doing
a group.
Y'all was just starting together.
It was just cool. We was good. Like, both of us was good. I was just like, I don't understand. Like, how the fuck are we both good at this? Like, we were really like ace or whatever. So.
She still rap now?
No, she don't rap. But, yeah, I had to shake that writer's block, and then I had made a whole mixtape in 2 weeks, like a whole 10-song mixtape, and they were all bangers. And then it was up from there. I was like, I ain't giving up no more. I get what writer's block is, so I started like just giving myself them breaks or whatever.
Okay, but during this time though, like I heard you was driving Uber or something like that. You got fired from Uber?
Yeah, I was doing DoorDash and Uber. Just to like pay my car note and stuff. Like I wasn't paying no bills. Like I was living with my dad or whatever. But it's like I literally ain't have nothing. Like I didn't have no money. I couldn't. Like I really was struggling bad as fuck. And so I got fired from my actual. I was at waitressing, and I was so sad when they fired me.
Why you got fired?
Because I be speaking up for myself. Like, you know how people just be saying stuff, like snickering in the back, like da, 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 saying little shit. So I brought it to their front door. I was like, I don't feel like it's fucking fair that y'all, we be on time and y'all, you know, they be having favorites. So they get a good sections to the fucking favorites. And I ain't never been nobody favorite because I come to work. I do not come to be friendly. So I spoke up and I felt like everybody else was going to have my back, but nobody had.
That's usually how it goes.
Yeah. Yeah, and I was just like, y'all bitches ain't gonna say nothing. And they was like, well, you can go. You can watch your language. And I was just like, well, if I go, can I come back? And they was just like, yeah, we'll talk about it. I was just like, all right, well, I'll go as long as I can come back. I looked at their schedule. I was all off the schedule. I called them and I said, could I please help? I said, y'all fire me. And they was just like, well, it's just a suspension. Sometimes I said, so y'all basically fired me. And they was just like, something. They was just trying to give me all this. I said, you know what? Fuck y'all. I'm finna be famous anyway. And then it was this shit. It was up. I guess I spoke. Like, I don't never need you bitches. So, I mean, that's probably what I needed. So I started. It was kind of distracting me from what I was doing anyway. Because it's like, you know, when you have a job, it's like.
That takes all your time.
You prepare for the next day of work versus trying to on your downtime. It's like you be tired as fuck. I used to get off work at like 2-3 in the morning, you know. So it'll be like, okay, I gotta get some sleep so I can go back to work 4 o'clock, you know. So it's like, it was really a blessing that they fired me, and I knew it. I knew I had potential. I was like, fuck, I'm finna get on the ass. Like, I knew, like, sometimes you just need that little motivation, and I was broke as fuck. I was like, that's all the motivation I need. So I was DoorDashing and Ubering while I was, then Uber let me down too. Goddamn.
What happened with Uber?
I was literally had a whole person in my car, and then I was trying to, like, click to the next or whatever, how it go. That shit was just like, it's something wrong with your account. So I called him. I was like, well, hey, what's up with my account? Thinking it was going to be an easy fix. They was like, oh, yeah, well, yeah, your account was closed because it was something on my record that popped up, something old. I was like, it just took the fine fucking time. But DoorDash ain't
on your driving record?
Yeah. So DoorDash ain't do that to me, though. So I was like, fuck y'all, Uber. I'll DoorDash it. While I was DoorDashing, he be like, and that was up. I was like, DoorDash be.
You made he be like while you was doing
DoorDash in an expensive ass neighborhood. I was looking around. I was like, what the fuck am I doing? Put on an instrumental. Like, I was like, I want a mansion, you know? And so I don't know what sparked it. And I wrote it fast as fuck, too. It was like something I didn't expect people to like that much. So.
No shit?
Mm-hmm.
like when I dropped it, I didn't drop it because I knew that was my next hit. I dropped it just because I needed some shit to drop. And I was just like, yeah, I'm going to drop this or whatever. I had a whole game plan. I was like, I'm going to drop it. Like, it started taking me fast. I was like, I guess this works.
And is that the one that kind of kicked everything off?
Yeah, that's the one that most certainly, they still love that shit to this day. Like, that's how you be knowing who was one of the ones when it's like to this day from 2019, they be singing that shit in the car. And I seen the bitch on the pole the other day. I was like, oh, it's still kicking, ain't it? Take shake that ass, girl.
So, all right. So, after you do that, then, I mean, how does that change for you then? Like, are you still having a DoorDash after you drop He Be Like and then hit the radio and you doing all that?
I can't really remember, but I'm sure I was still DoorDashing because, you know, it take a couple months to it start stirring up. Like, I was literally getting booked. Because it kind of went fast, but it's like, I don't really remember if I was still DoorDash, and I really think I was able to stop real soon after, no, I was still DoorDashing because I remember this girl, I delivered her food. I had a black bumper and everything. I had a white car with a black bumper. I was so embarrassed because this girl was like, she tagged me on Instagram and was like, can a man just drop my food off? I was like, bitch, you supposed to keep that to yourself. Bitch, I say that. I was acting like that was not me. I was like, I don't know who she talking about, bitch. It couldn't be me.
Oh man, that's
yeah.
Fun.
No, so do you, I definitely
want to act. Are you into that type of shit?
Okay, I do want to act, right? But I'm super goofy and super shy, so it's kind of like I don't know how. Like I be laughing. I can't take nothing serious. Like
you should explore that later on. Whenever you're ready. You know what I mean?
I've been trying to dibble and dabble, and I'm just like, I only can do it like spot on, like on accident. I can't focus. Like if they tried to like put me in a crime scene, it was like, we need the tears. I don't know if that'll happen. Like, you know, maybe I should just do
they
goofy
roles.
They might
put you in comedy. You might just do
possibly.
That.
I said, hey, if the rap don't work, I'm going to start making little skits. They got me fucked up. I'm going to figure that some kind of way.
So, all right. You talking about He Be Like, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. That taking off for you, you were saying, you know, what you were doing. You were still door dashing, whatever, whatever. Okay, so you got the, what's the record?
Which one?
With Bloodbath and them.
For me.
I be playing that shit when I be DJing. I'm going to play it tonight when I go DJ.
Yeah.
Tell me about, like, because, I mean, it's like in the H right now, a lot of women, y'all are killing it right now.
Mm-hmm.
You know what
absolutely.
I mean?
Absolutely. It's crazy because we all sound different, too. Mm-hmm. That's yeah. What's crazy. It's like everybody got their own vibe. That's what somebody was telling me. That is just like, you really don't know who from Houston for real because y'all all kind of, you know, got a different little tone to y'all or whatever. So, yeah. Nah, Bloodbath, she's 100% one of my faves. Like, she too hard.
She dope.
She really, I tell you, she wrote that song like 30 minutes in front of my face and then was looking at me like, what you about to do? And I was looking at her like, bitch, I did a couple days. I was like, god damn, that's a talented motherfucker right there.
Mm. Yeah, she dope. Would y'all, you know that song, Ladies Night, Look Him?
Mm-hmm.
Would y'all ever do something like that? That'd be dope.
I feel like
it's enough of y'all to put something like that together.
Mm-hmm. You know, it'd be hard to catch up with everybody. Like, everybody be, but I feel like it would be a great ass idea because I seen somebody had, put a little thing, the whatever, was it that Lady Marmalade song?
Mm-hmm.
Was that the same thing?
No,
that's different.
One.
But you know, like that, like the Christina Aguilera and Lil Kim and all that stuff, like that's what people always be pitching it. And now it would be a great thing. I feel like it would go up, you know.
Yeah, you had to go up. Yeah, for sure. Absolutely. What's your top five of all time? Well, women, top five women MCs?
I would say Nicki Minaj. See, that's crazy, right? Top five women. Okay, I would say Nicki Minaj. I would say, okay, I know we don't be able to say myself, but I'm hard as fuck. Like, how could you not put me in there? And then I would say, I don't know. I can't think right now. Who would your top five be? I know you're going to say Foxy or Kim.
No, I don't ever answer this. This is for the guests. I don't even get involved with that.
See, I ain't getting involved. Next question, please. 200 for next question.
Nah, that's cool.
Nah, if but you, I really was a super stan of Nicki Minaj. Like, she was my whole little grown up thing. You know, I was a little too young for little Kim freaky ass. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of like, yeah, I respect the legend.
No, Nicki Minaj is that short hair.
Absolutely, yeah. But she was kind of too much. I wish my daddy would come catch me listening to her. It would have been like, what, bitch, what is you doing? So mm-hmm. I didn't really catch the wave of that. Like, Nicki was real kind of kiddie. Like, she was for our age when, you know, me growing up, so.
Is that somebody that you would, like, kind of aspire to have that type of career?
Absolutely. Like, she's literally like did things, broke records, and did so many things that like she really, I always say, what she did to me in my eyes and what I feel like should be in everybody's eyes was like she kind of like expanded what hip hop was. It kind of like hip hop was just hip hop, right? And then it's like with her, she kind of like dibbled and dabbled in every
little pop, little R&B, little
yeah. And then it's still, she always came back to hip hop though, no matter what. And then even in her pop stuff, she'll sing and stuff, but it's like she be giving bars like on whoever track, you know. So I just felt like she was like one of those. Wow, you could do, like knowing you could do that, but not seeing that you could do it. So sometimes somebody got to put it, and it was crazy that she created that. You know, like it was her that showed like the diversity that hip hop could be. So I love that bitch.
Who would you like to work with? I mean, you in the game for real now. Who's like some of your dream collaborations?
So one of my really ones that I've been saying a lot is like I really want to do a Summer Walker record. Mm. I really would love to do a Lil Durk one. I would really love to do a Cardi B one. I would really love to do a Drake one, a Wayne one, a Lil Baby one. You know, the typicals, you know, them ones. But Summer Walker is really somebody that I've really been like, damn, I just know. I know we gonna go crazy.
Yeah. Because y'all gonna talk some shit.
About these niggas. I know she in the perfect position right now to get it off her chest, and I want to be the one to give you that platform. I want to give you the space. It's a safe space, baby.
That's what's up. So, man, I just lost my train of thought. I was going to ask you something. I'm getting like you. I didn't forget.
I ain't going to lie. Sometimes I be answering a question and forget what I'm answering because I talk so much. So I don't be knowing.
Man, it was something about, if you had to tell someone, like, this is Kinda Man. This is what you're gonna get from Kinda Man's music. How would you describe that?
Head down, hands on your knees. You're gonna get some real fuck that nigga tendencies. You're gonna learn some P talk from the P herself. You're gonna get a lot of confidence, and it's some shit you probably shouldn't be peeing around your parents and shit. You know, don't be slipping up and playing in the car with moms and pa and granny. Even though they mamas be liking that shit. I mean, they came from there. They know. They created us. That's why we like this. So, I just feel like you're going to get a lot of, like, vibes. The vibes.
How do you feel when, because I've had some, like, older women tell me, like, you know, I like the women. They can rap, but, like, a lot of the sexual content. What do you say about stuff like that?
Come on now. They grew up on nasty shit. Like I just said, like, Lakim was nasty. That was who they, you know, that was them. That was they. Just like Nicki was my era.
Yeah, she the goat for that, yeah.
It was their era, you know what I'm saying? So it's kind of like, I feel like, why is everybody acting so, like, we didn't have a Trina? You know what I'm saying? Like, it's like, sexual music has been a thing, which is crazy because men sexualize us all day, all night. They never got talked about for talking about our pussy. Now we can't even talk about our own pussy. That's crazy. Niggas always trying to control stuff. I ain't good trying to control our pussy talk. Like, that is crazy. But I feel like it's like, also, what's also crazy to me is that they don't blow up the music that with the range. Like, they don't blow up. Like, they blow up our pussy music. That's what girls want to hear. They don't blow up shit of us talking about deep shit, like, or our struggles and all of this shit. They blow up the pussy rap. So it's like, you need to talk to them bitches. We're just making with sales, and I feel like it does. For instance, like, I was rapping so hard before, he be like, nothing ever went like, he be like, that was a sex song. I didn't mean to make that the one. I wasn't trying to sell this pussy. They sold it for me. That's that.
We didn't land on Plymouth Rock, but Plymouth Rock landed on me.
That's weird.
That's what's up. All right, well, man. You got anything before we get up out of here?
Just go stream my music. You will not be disappointed. And thank you for having me today. And you're great. And he got a nice little spot with the backdrop and one of my faves back here. And be blessed and stay positive and stop being up in the shade room comments, because that's not healthy for your skin.
I don't even know what to say. Hey, man, it's Donnie Houston Podcast. Kinda Man, we out of here.
Donnie Houston.